You are listening to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. We will be coming to you each and every day with uncensored, in-depth analysis of everything you need to know to win your fantasy leagues this season. You can follow us on Twitter, at Fantasy Benefits, or join the Facebook discussion groups, www.facebook.com/groups/Friends of Fantasy Benefits. Give us a 5-star review on iTunes and send us a copy or screenshot of it to friendsoffantasybenefits@gmail.com or on Twitter at Fantasy Benefits for a chance to get into one of our listener leagues or other prizes. Enjoy the show. Are friends with fantasy benefits.
Mike, how hard are you right now?
Oh man, I've been hard since you said hi, welcome to Friends with Fantasy Benefits podcast.
Old man gets no respect every year, and all he does is hang.
We are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
If you ever have seen The Price is Right, and you see the yodeling guy, he's going up on the cliff, and he's going up on the cliff, and he's going up on the cliff. Everybody is afraid he's going to fall right off.
We are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
37 in a row.
In a row. If you don't listen to the In This League podcast, hopefully you've watched
Seen Clerks.
And yeah.
We are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Welcome to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. I'm Justin Mason, lead fantasy writer and analyst for friendsoffantasybenefits.com. Join with me on this episode is Scott Bogman from the In This League Podcast Network. Scott, how you doing?
I'm doing great, man. Just ready to talk a little Texas Rangers baseball. And this is going to be so much fun. This team is good.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good. It's not going to be fun to talk about the prospects later on with Matt.
Nope.
Because their system has been destroyed, but the team itself is good. And I don't know about you, I don't think they're done yet.
No, they're definitely not done. I mean, they've got pieces to trade. They've been rumored to talk about Jose Quintana as we're recording this. They still might want to add to this bullpen too. Bullpen's a little short. So I think they're definitely not done. And there's some decent pieces in their prospect in their minor leagues too. It's just not as good as it once was.
No, it's not as good as it was 2 years ago. But before we jump into talking about the team, Scott, for those of the people who haven't heard you on here before, which is actually kind of insane because you were just on like a month ago, let them know where you can be reached on Twitter and then tell them all about In This League, because you guys do a lot of great podcasting stuff over there.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter. I'm at Bogman Sports, my hetero life mate and co-owner of InThisLeague.com. The Welsh is at Is It The Welsh or I Sit The Welsh, however you want to spell
it's
that out.
I Sit The Welsh.
I Sit The Welsh. That's exactly right. And you can find us on InThisLeague.com. We have podcasts for baseball. We have a minor league baseball podcast called Prospect One that the Welsh just started up. We got football. We've got the NFL draft that I just started called In This War Room. We've got basketball. We've got hockey. We've got college football. We've got it all covered, all your fantasy sports that you'd ever want to hear on InThisLeague.com.
Definitely go check it out. They are, I say it every time you guys are on, one of you guys or both of you guys are on the podcast. It is the best produced podcast in the business. And I say you guys are extremely funny. You're a lot like us, but funnier. And more professional.
Well, that's what we aim to be, is funnier. So appreciate it. Thank you very much.
So let's jump in and talk about these Texas Rangers. Like you said, it's a pretty good team. And obviously it's a team that's going to try to compete for a playoff spot in World Series. But like I also said, and you were talking about, I don't think it's done quite yet. So when we get to maybe first base and pitching, we may mention those caveats, but let's start at catcher with Jonathan Lucroy. He came obviously over in the midseason trade from the Brewers. What are your thoughts on him this year, considering how high he's going?
Well, I think it's correct. When you look at the kind of shallowness of catchers, which are always usually kind of shallow. You know, last year Posey went super high because Lucroy was coming in with the foot injury, and you know, some of these other guys hadn't developed. I mean, when you look at kind of what we have Gary Sanchez is going very high. Kyle Schwarber in Yahoo at least still qualifies a catcher. I don't know how he's going to go at ESPN. Evan Gattis didn't qualify a catcher coming in this year. Wilson Contreras wasn't called up. So it was kind of Posey and then 50 feet of crap and everybody else. And now this year, Jonathan Lucroy comes in healthy. He's in the Rangers lineup and not the Brewers lineup. He might be my number one overall catcher because this is a guy who's going to hit 300. He still can play at first. He's going to hit you around 20 homers. High average, a lot of runs and RBIs for catcher. I mean, that's really strong. So I think the top three are going to kind of float between Posey, Sanchez, and Lucroy.
Yeah, and I have Lucroy as my number two catcher. But I can see why someone like you might have him as number one. I can see why people have him as number three. Personally, for me, I think he is safe, but he also has a pretty decent ceiling, which for me I like, especially in two-character formats. I know a lot of people are saying they are avoiding the top three catchers and grabbing from the middle. I think that's a fair strategy, but I also think that there are going to be so many people doing that that you're going to see guys like Lucroy, guys like Posey drop considerably in certain drafts. And I've been a part of mock drafts where these guys drop outside of the top, not Posey so much, but Lucroy especially drop outside of the top 100. And that, to me, offers a ton of value for a guy like Lucroy. So he's definitely a guy that I'm keeping an eye on in terms of his draft stock in the wild fluctuations there are for him. Let's move over to first base. According to Roster Resource, right now, if the season started today, you'd be having Jerks and Profar be the everyday first baseman there. And Joey Gallo kind of platooning at DH and probably playing a little bit of first base.
Yeah, and I think Lucroy will be over there on occasions where he's not catching. So
now this is a spot where I think the Rangers might still go out and do something. They'd been tied to Mike Napoli on and off throughout the offseason. He's still out there as a as an option, as well as other first basemen who haven't found a home. What are your thoughts on Profar and Gallo for this season?
Well, I really like Profar. I'm high on him. It's just, like you mentioned, it's a little dicey because they signed Napoli. Napoli DHs, and then Gallo and Profar are kind of switching at first, unless Gallo is involved in a deal that gets him back a guy like Quintana. Then Profar would probably be the everyday first baseman. So I'm thinking that most of those at bats are going to go to Profar this year. They just got to get him in the lineup. They have, you know, he's a shortstop, but he can play it pretty much anywhere on the infield. And I'm really excited. You know, he's kind of over that shoulder injury, or so we hope. He looked decent in his 272 at-bats last year. So we just want him to bring that average up and kind of fulfill his potential because, I mean, this is a dude that was the number one minor league prospect for a couple years in a row, and the Rangers would not part with him. I mean, back when Justin Upton was good, he was a huge name, and the Rangers would absolutely not part with Jerks and Profar for a guy like Justin Upton, which makes him look pretty smart right now. But back then, everybody thought they were insane, especially when the next year he wound up injured and not coming up. So he's got a lot of potential to fill, and I'm excited to see him get a lot of at-bats this year.
And, I mean, I think people, too, forget that he was also rumored to be part of a Giancarlo Stanton trade.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
You know, that before he signed that massive deal, there was a lot of talk that Profar would be the centerpiece of that deal. You know, Profar is a really interesting guy because he's going extremely late. I want to say he's going outside the top 300 in NFBC. And right now, unless the Rangers do make a move, he's probably getting every day at bats. And depending on what format you play in, he could have a ton of positional eligibility. You know, Yahoo, which
I think in Yahoo, he qualifies at everything.
Yeah. So first, second, third, short, and outfield is where he would qualify in Yahoo. So
everything but third.
No, third is actually where he will probably qualify in most places because he had the most games and it's the only position he had more than 20 games. So most places will have him only at third to start the season, and then he'll gain first base, I'm sure, at some point. But Yahoo will have him pretty much everywhere outside of pitcher and catcher. So, and then depending on where you play, I think CBS does 15 games. So he'll have first, second, third, and that's it. First, second, and third. So definitely check that out depending on what format you're playing in, what your league rules are. But I like him as kind of a late option, as a awesome guy to put on your bench because in deeper formats, because he'll have positional eligibility all over the place. He's a great guy to be able to fill in off days, fill in for injuries, and he does have a ton of potential. I mean, this guy was, you know, a top 10 prospect at one point in Major League Baseball, and the power showed a little bit last year. He is still ran a little bit. So, I mean, this is a guy who is maybe a sneaky guy for maybe a 15-10, 2010 season if everything comes together and they give him the run.
What's your over-under on at-bats for him?
Oh, I think what I would project is 300.
Yeah, 272 last year.
Yeah.
I think I would put it at 400.
And I don't mind. If I knew right now that this was the team they were going into the season with, I'd be okay with projecting 450.
Yeah.
But I don't. And so for now, if your drafts are now, then I'd project it out at about 300, maybe 350. And then anything on top of that is gravy. But I have a feeling that, like I said, I think they're going to still sign Napoli. And that too. Makes him, you know, I have Javi Baez-like player where he can just play all over the field.
I think they're going to sign Napoli too, or, you know, Chris Carter or somebody to DH. And then, Gallo would have to be involved in a trade to bring him back, somebody like Quintana for Profar to then get significant at-bats, or an injury, you know, Andrews gets hurt or something. So.
Exactly. All right, let's go ahead and move on and talk about Rougned Odor, who had kind of a breakout season last year, going pretty high in NFBC leagues as a sixth second baseman off the board, almost at pick four, or just a little bit before pick 40 overall. Do you think that last year was a little bit of a flash in the pan, or can he kind of put back-to-back amazing seasons together?
Well, I didn't believe in him last year, and he made me look like an idiot. So I'm not going to say it can't happen, but I do think that this is the higher end of what we can see from Odor. I mean, you know, the power is real. Anybody who hits 33 homers, I mean, I don't know if he's going to do it again. I would put him somewhere around 25 to, you know, I would say he's closer to 20 than he is to 30 this year. But the power is real, man. It's there. And he can steal a base. I see your problem with Odor is a lot of leagues are going to on-base percentage. And he does not walk. He had 19 walks and 605 at-bats last year. So his on-base percentage was just a touch under 300. It was 296. So I like the power-speed combo. He's in the middle of the, he's in the Rangers lineup. So he's going to have runs. He's going to have RBI. They have him hitting cleanup right now, according to Roster Resource, which is amazing. So I'm excited about him. I just don't know if you can draft him expecting these numbers again.
I don't think you can draft him expecting these numbers, and I'm a little bit higher on you. I would probably project him for around 27, 28 home runs. I definitely think his power takes a little bit of a step back, as it was just an insane year for the kid, and well-deserved. I was high on him last year. But I think the fact that you brought up that he doesn't walk is concerning. Only a 3% walk rate last year, and like you said, an OBP under 300. So definitely takes a huge hit in OBP formats. So more of a guy I would want in average formats, but I can't get around the price, especially with how deep second base is. That to me, like I couldn't take him ahead of D Gordon. I would rather wait, 130 picks and get Jonathan Scope later, who's another player who kicks for power and doesn't walk.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's other guys. You know, Forsythe is going much, much later.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to be hitting in the middle of the Dodgers lineup. And he's a 20 home run guy who should have more RBI opportunities, more run opportunities hitting for the Dodgers, depending on if he hits leadoff or not. I know that's kind of where he's slated right now. Zobrist is down there much lower.
Mm-hmm.
I'm with you. I don't know that I'll have Odor on too many of my teams.
I mean, you know, guys going in the same area at different positions, you know, you've got Trevor Story going around there at a much more shallow position. At first base, you've got guys like Freddie Freeman and Will Myers. You know, in the outfield, you have a ton of guys going around that same area in Giancarlo Stanton and A.J. Pollock and Nelson Cruz. I mean, I just think there's just so much more value at the end at second base that it's really hard for me to pay for a guy like Odor that early and miss out on some of those studs kind of in those rounds. Let's move over to Elvis Andrus. Not a guy I've been super interested in the last few years. The speed has been somewhat consistent. That's why it keeps people interested. You know, he's stolen at least 24 bases in the last four seasons, and has he's stolen at least 20 in every single season at the major league level. What is your interest in Elvis Andrus?
One trick pony. I mean, he gets you stolen bases. He'll get you some runs. He hits 300. So he's not going to hurt you. But I'm not an Elvis Andrus guy. I'm not. I'm probably not going to own him. I'd rather take a risk on, you know, like Aledmys Diaz or Tim Anderson or somebody like that. I'm not taking Andrus in too many drafts. He's just not exciting at all.
Yeah, I agree with you. Currently, he's going off as the number 10th shortstop, 156 overall, right next to Troy Tulowitzki, in front of Brad Miller, Tim Anderson, Marcus Semien, who I love, Brandon Crawford. So, I mean,
I'd rather have all those guys.
Yeah, I'd rather have all those guys too. So let's go. Let's just move right along to third base and talk about Adrian Beltre. Then, old man gets no respect every year, and he does is hit.
That's, yeah. He's just going to keep doing it. You know, 32 bombs, 104 RBIs, 90 runs, you know, 300 hitter on the nose, 358 on base. He does everything. And you're right, he gets no respect because he's the, I think we talked about it on the last show. If you ever have seen The Price is Right and you see the yodeling guy when you pick the price and he's like, mm-hmm. he's going up on the cliff. Everybody is afraid he's going to fall right off that cliff, and it just hasn't happened yet. So he's kind of one of those guys that you have to take him, and if you're the one that winds up with him when he falls off, then that's just it, you know what it is. But he's going right now. Am I right? Is he going behind Todd Frazier right now?
He is going behind Todd Frazier, eighth third baseman off the board. I like Frazier.
He hit
75
points higher than Todd Frazier.
Yeah, but I mean
his on base was 56 points higher.
People remembering that Todd Frazier, well, and I am forgot also, Todd Frazier, you know, was like a second round pick not too long ago. Though I think Beltre and Frazier are both underrated. Honestly, I look at that kind of tier right there with Matt Carpenter, Frazier, and Beltre, and even Anthony Rendon as guys who are kind of undervalued. And you know, people are afraid he's going to fall off the cliff. I mean, he's an old dude now. Hall of Famer, but he, you know, is going to be turning 38 at early in the season. Here's the thing, though. Third base is stacked. It is probably the most stacked offensive position in the game today. And so I think taking a guy like Beltre, who has the possibility could fall off the cliff, is fine because there's going to be guys out there. Like, you can take Adrian Beltre and then, you know, 200 picks later, grab a Yonjervis Solarte or a Travis Shaw or a Matt Duffy. And if for some reason, you know, he doesn't pan out, something happens to Beltre, he gets hurt, he falls off that cliff, you still have a usable asset, even in deeper formats. You know, and in your shallow leagues, there's going to be, you know, 12-team leagues, you know, 10-team leagues, there's going to be plenty of third basemen out on the waiver wire. So, I have no problem taking Beltre. I was in a mock draft last night for the mock draft army, and I did take Beltre, and then I took another third baseman later. And so I have no problem taking Beltre. I love him this year.
Yeah, I mean, he's just super, super consistent. And I don't know. He's just a guy that you love, like, especially if you've taken some risks. If you've taken some risks and then he's around there, you just know what you're getting from him. He's a steady Eddie. So
yeah. Let's move on out into the outfield and talk about some of the guys they have out there. Currently, their starting outfield is supposed to look like Shintou Chu, Nomar Mazara, and Carlos Gomez. Let's play like a little marry, fuck, kill with those. Who would you marry, who would you fuck, and who would you kill out of Chu, Mazara, and Gomez?
Well, I'd marry Mazara, I'd fuck Gomez, and I would kill Chu. And it's not that difficult for me.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I assume it's because Chu's injury history, recent injury history, has kind of sapped a lot of his potential. Who knows what you're going to get from him this year. He's going extremely late, but probably not a guy that I'm interested in outside of AL-only leagues.
Yeah.
Mazara is an interesting guy for me because Mazara had a lot of hype coming into the season last year, but people still weren't drafting him in redrafts because they didn't know where he was going to be up. Came up, tore the cover off the ball for a little while, struggled towards the end of the season.
Very
much
so.
What are your thoughts on Mazara?
Well, he's the guy that got figured out a little bit. You know, he hit, what did he hit here? He hit 282 pre-break, 242 post-break. For a guy playing in his first full season, that's a guy that kind of got figured out. He still had 20 homers, 64 RBI, 59 runs. So he was decent, but you got to see how he's going to adjust back. And I like him, but I think Carlos Gomez has a higher ceiling than Nomar Mazara for this season.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that you talk about injury history. Carlos Gomez, like, the way he swings that bat, you just know that shoulder's like I just expect his whole arm to fall off one day. He swings it so incredibly hard that he's got to be wearing himself out doing that. And he's another guy that, if you're in an OBP league, he's almost like an outfield Ronald Odor. You know, he's going to steal a bunch of bases. He's going to hit you some bombs and score some runs in RBI. But he never walks. He's a guy that walked 34 times, which is, I mean, that's much better than Odor, but it's not that much better. And his OBP, I mean, he only hit 231 last year, OBP under 300. So, but he did get, he was much better in the second half. He hit 251 in the second half. So hopefully he's adjusting to being a Ranger. He's going to be there. And, hitting in that lineup is helpful for anyone. So,
yeah, I mean, I'll start with Carlos Gonzalez, or Carlos Gomez. Not only did he hit much better in the second half, since coming over to Texas, he hit 284, 362, 543. It was his triple slash. He walked 10% of the time, only struck out 27.7% of the time, which I'm saying only. That's still a lot, but it's not a lot.
Better than Gallo.
And then hit 8 home runs in 130 plate appearances. So, like, he was on fire with Texas. I think there's some people out there that think he's going to reclaim that, put that over a whole season. I think that would be silly to try to do that. For me, I like where he's going in terms of drafts right now. He is currently going as the 37th outfielder off the board, 154 overall.
37?
Yeah.
In a row?
In a row. If you don't listen to In This League podcast, hopefully you've watched
Clerks.
And yeah, that's actually my favorite drop you guys do because it makes me think of that movie. But he's currently going 37th behind Adam Duvall, Yasmani Tomas, Byron Buxton, Jackie Bradley Jr. I love him at that spot.
Behind Byron Buxton.
Yes. Byron that's Buxton is getting a ton of helium.
Byron Buxton has all kinds of – he has an incredible upside.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like to just suck his upside. But Carlos Gomez, you kind of know. Like, you've seen his – you've seen his potential. You know what he can do. So I think I'd much rather have a guy like Carlos Gomez over Byron Buxton.
I think I would too because, Buxton, what his upside is – I don't think he's going to hit for power this year, even if he hits, kind of his ceiling for this season. But I think he could steal a ton of bases and hit for a pretty decent average if he puts it all together. But Carlos Gomez can do all of that except for the average, plus offer the power.
Right.
And like you said, we've seen it from Carlos Gonzalez or Carlos yep. Gomez. He was a first-round pick for a couple of years because of it. So, God. I mean, yeah.
Wasn't that back in the day? at this point. That was like, it seems like it was a million years ago. It was probably like 4 years ago.
I don't even think it was that long ago. I'd have to.
You're probably right.
I'd have to double check his last good season. Let's see. In 2014, he went 23-34 with a 284 average. So that means in 2015, two seasons ago, he was a first round pick.
God,
now, people got screwed because he, went 12-17 with a 255. But he was a first round pick, I'm sure, that year. I mean, I remember there was talk. Yeah, I remember there's talk on this podcast with former members of this podcast, and someone said they were very tempted to take Carlos Gomez first overall over Mike Trout that year.
God, give me a break. Who was that? Who was that so I could slander them?
I believe it was Cameron Miller.
So. Jesus Christ. Get a grip, Cam. Come on. Let's go. I think Cam was actually the first guy I contacted to have you guys on.
I believe he was. Let's move over. Or let me talk about Nomar Mazara, because I was super high on him last year. It paid off fairly well for me. But like you said, he did struggle in the second half, only hitting 242. My biggest issue, because I think he'll correct that. I think he was figured out a little bit, and young players then have to go back and make corrections for themselves. I think he's a smart young guy. He will do that. My scariest issue with him is the fact that he struggled against left-handed pitching, and that could turn into a platoon for him. He only hit 234, and only one of his 20 home runs were off of left-handed pitching last season. If he does not improve that, he could be in some trouble. I think he will, and I think they're going to give him some leeway because there's not really a lot in terms of their bench or in the minor leagues that could come up and take away. Maybe Delano DeShields Jr., who is still on this roster, might be able to, be a platoon mate with him.
I mean, but Profar played in the outfield. Gallo has played in the outfield. There's a lot of options.
Gallo struggles against lefties, too, though.
That's true. So I'm just saying, if there's a problem with somebody, there's a lot of options to replace him. Even Tim McLeod's guy, Ryan Rua, is still around. So, and he's around, though. But
I think it becomes a little bit more scary if and when they do sign someone, because right now Rua's got a probably platoon with Gallo, because Gallo is absolutely dreadful against left-handed pitching. And so they would need, if they signed someone else who, maybe took away the poor platoon splits for Gallo, then you could start seeing maybe other guys coming in. But I think for right now, Mazara's job is pretty safe unless he's just dreadful early on.
I agree with that.
Any interest in Delino DeShields Jr.? He was a big name last year. People were taking him in the top 100. I was not. I was one of his biggest detractors and one of the few things I got right last year.
No. No interest in Delino DeShields. Not until they have too many options in the outfield. The dude hit 209 last year. He has to do a lot to get back. He has to have an incredible spring training. I mean, he struck out 26% of the time last year. Just not a good season. Not a good season. He was even worse after the break than he was before the break, too.
Which is sad.
Yeah, it just wasn't good. Delino DeShields is that's the Welsh's version of my Billy Burns. But somehow we talk about Billy Burns way more. I don't know why that is.
I wonder. here's the one thing I will say. Because, I was a huge detractor of Delino DeShields. I said all preseason that I thought he was best suited for a fourth outfielder role. I still believe that.
Was attractive.
Exactly, because, people were, this year, very afraid of what the speed outlook looks like in Major League Baseball, and they were like, this is a guy who could steal, he stole 54 bases in 2014 in AA. He stole 101 bases in 2012 in the minor leagues.
Jeez.
So, this is a guy who can run. But you also have to be able to hit, a little bit. You can't steal first. That is correct. So here's what I will say. Dude has amazing speed upside. I wouldn't be surprised to see him gain some sort of Jared Dyson-like role that we've seen in Kansas City and be able to steal 20 to 30 bases, and he's going extremely late. So in AL only leagues, in like your NFBC draft and holds, he's a guy I'm willing to take a shot on extremely late as a reserve pick, just in case. Because I mean, at that point, you're talking about guys like Robbie Grossman going off the board and Austin Meadows. Like, where's Austin Meadows going to play in Pittsburgh? You know, Nori Aoki. Who really cares about him? Even though he has a starting role in Houston right now. So I mean, he's a guy that I wouldn't mind taking the shot on, because I mean, 539th off the board right now, 117th outfielder. Does not reflect what kind of upside he would have, even in a part-time role.
Yeah, but he's definitely a, you know, in your 12-man standard, you're not messing with him at all.
You're 12-man, even in your 15-man standard, you can't draft him. You know, he's AL only, or like I said, 50 round draft and hold cut links. All right, let's move over to the rotation side and talk about some of the guys over there. We just had a debate kind of in our private chat, and then I threw a poll up on Twitter about Cole Hamels. And because someone was like, well, I'm not high on Cole Hamels, but I hate David Price. And I put David Price and Cole Hamels kind of in the same grouping as second tier pitchers. And I'm like, I want nothing to do with Cole Hamels this year.
I like Cole Hamels. I mean, he's a guy that I'm not in love with him or anything. But he throws you 200 innings, he gets you a decent amount of wins, and he strikes out 200. Sure, he walks some, but, I mean, he's a decent pitcher, 15-5 last year. I know a lot of us are still using wins, so, you know. And if you're using quality starts, he had 22 quality starts last year. So he's a good, consistent pitcher. He's the guy that, like, you know, if you go – it's kind of funny because if you pair him with Darvish, it kind of makes sense because Darvish has all kinds of crazy upside. But he was injured last year, and Cole Hamels is just kind of a steady Eddie guy. You kind of know what you're getting out of him. So I enjoy having Cole Hamels on most of my teams.
Yeah, I am not a Cole Hamels believer. I mean, from the beginning of August on, he had a 4.28 ERA. The K per nine went down. The walks went up. He had almost 3.5 walk per nine. I think there was maybe an underlying injury, and I think this is a guy that is getting older, put a ton of miles on his arm, especially in the last few years. I think we forget that Hamels was a real injury-prone guy for a little while there, and people really worried about him. But like you mentioned, he's been a steady Eddie for a number of years now. I just worry a little bit about the decline in strikeout rate, the raise in walk rate, and us seeing, you know, kind of him fall off the cliff this year, either due to injury or just due to, the skills declining as he gets older. I'm just not willing to take him as a top 20 starting pitcher.
But how about the guys going behind him? Like, so you have Tanaka, who has the, you know, the elbow thing. Are you going Tanaka or Hamels?
Tanaka.
Okay, that's fine. How about Greinke?
I'm going to go Greinke.
Aaron Sanchez.
I'm going to go Aaron Sanchez.
Kenta Maeda.
No.
Okay, Porcello.
No.
Okay, it's Danny Duffy.
Yes.
Okay, so Quintana.
Yes.
All right, so you're just a little lower on him than average. But
I mean, even if you keep going, I'll take Garrett Cole. I'll take Danny Salazar.
Take Garrett Cole with his injury stuff? How about Fat Harvey?
That one's hard for me. I would not take Rich Hill. Well, depending on size of league, but I would not take Rich Hill.
Take Rich Hill. He's like, you talk about injury prone guys. I mean, you know, Rich Hill, if you knew you're getting 200 innings out of him, he'd be over here in the top 15 at least.
But like in a 10 or 12 team link, I can see making the argument for Rich Hill. Anything larger than that, you definitely can't. Because at least there's going to be, I did the 12 team mock draft that I mentioned earlier last night. And there were so many guys still on the waiver wire that weren't drafted in this league where I was just like, oh, my God, I still love Tyler Skaggs. I still, you know, love some of these guys, you know, that are out there. So I can see making the argument for Rich Hill, but I've been one of Rich Hill's biggest detractors all offseason because I don't think you can pencil him in for more than 120 or 30 innings.
No, you can't. You know, only 110 last year. But, I understand what you're saying with Hamels, but I think you can say – a lot of guys are going to fall off the cliff. I think it's a label you can put on a bunch of guys. You know, like Strasburg is always hurt. You know, everybody talks about how Chris Sale has the funky arm delivery. Tanaka had the elbow thing a couple years ago. You know, Sanchez is young. Maeda got blasted in the second half, and he's a new guy to, you know, the U.S. Mm-hmm. Porcello had one good year. Duffy had one good year. So I think there's a lot of holes that you can point out in a bunch of these guys.
Sure.
But I like having Hamels over most of them. I might go with Granke, Sanchez, Porcello, and Duffy over him. Like, they're all in that same type of tier for me. But I think the rest of the guys, I think I would rather have Cole Hamels over him.
All right. What about Darvish? I mean, are you back on board with him as an ace?
I'm leading that train, man. I absolutely love you, Darvish. The strikeout potential, the dude is a gamer. I mean, he wanted to play through his Tommy John. You know, he had 132 strikeouts and 31 walks last year in 100 innings. He's over a K per nine. I love guys like that. He's in a good situation. You know, the only thing bad you can say about Darvish is, you know, obviously he's coming off Tommy John. We don't know if they're going to limit his innings. I would assume they're not going to, because he already has kind of gone through that, and this is a playoff potential team. And, you know, his home ballpark sucks. But, I mean, he had a 2.2 ERA away, 4.26 at home. Same thing with Hamels, 4.4 at home, 2.4 away. So I love you, Darvish. I'm excited about him this year.
You know, I mean, I have been kind of tentative on Darvish. And he's not a guy I'm ending up with a lot in mock drafts. But the more and more I think about Darvish, and more I look at the numbers from last season, and I was one of the proponents to say, stay away from him last year, coming off of Tommy John. I want nothing to do with him. He was coming back from the surgery. Typically, control is the thing that is last to come back. He isn't a great control guy to begin with. He proved me wrong. He was fantastic in his 100 innings, and a guy you want. I think he is a guy you want this year, and I keep trying to talk myself out of it for some reason, but I can't do it, because I mean, just looking at, you know, his numbers from last year, he was almost 12K per nine last year. His walk rate was the best walk rate he's had of his career, coming off of Tommy John surgery. You know, yeah, he plays in a shitty ballpark, but the rest of the ballparks in that division are great for pitching. And he actually gave up the fewest amount of home runs he had since 2014 and 2012. I mean, he only gave up one home run per nine. That's not that bad. Like, I'll take that, you know? And you don't have to pay the ace price for him right now. He's going as the eighth starting pitcher, you know? Maybe I like Lester a little bit more, but I think him over Arrieta.
If you're risk averse, I understand why you're not taking Darvish coming off the surgery, because the guys around him are not risky. I mean, you know what you get from Lester. I mean, Lester is like Cole Hamels on steroids as far as being consistent is. The Jake Arrieta, you know, obviously he had kind of a sordid past, but since he's been on the Cubs, he's been amazing. Verlander was great. Cueto was great. You know, I understand not taking him around those guys if you're very risk averse. But if you want the upside, I take him over maybe everybody but Verlander.
You know, I still think I take him over Verlander.
I mean, Verlander was just so good last year. It's tough.
I think that was Verlander's ceiling, you know, rest of his career. I mean, I think Darvish has a better strikeout upside.
Yeah.
And as much as I think a lot of people attributed Verlander's bad seasons to the core injury, we've seen bad seasons like that from Verlander. We haven't seen a bad season like that from Darvish.
Very true. Very true. So, you know, those two are going to be close when you're grouping them together. But, you know, for me, it's one of those things where if you take Darvish, then maybe you take a guy like Cole Hamels coming back. And if you take Verlander, maybe you take a guy like Aaron Sanchez. You know, you go out on a limb a little bit more. So there's different ways to construct your team, but Darvish is going to be on a lot of my teams.
Yeah, I agree with you there. You have Martin Perez, Andrew Cashner, A.J. Griffin, you know, Tyson Ross. Any of these guys interest you in the rest of the rotation?
No. If you're in a quality starts league and you already have a ton of strikeouts, you know, Martin Perez did have 19 quality starts last year. But he strikes out nobody. He walks a lot. He doesn't get a lot of wins. He's not sexy at all. I don't want Trashner. I don't want Colby Lewis. I don't want any of these guys, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I don't want any of them really either. You know, I will say there is part of me that is still very much intrigued by Tyson Ross. Because we're talking about a guy who was a top 20 pitcher
last year, though.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, I think he's going extremely late. I'm not even going to try to find him in the NFBC ADPs. But I bet you he's going outside the top 350 in terms of overall picks. Here we go. He's the 99th starting pitcher off the board.
And does he even have like a starting role right now? I mean,
well, he's going to start the year on the DL as he continues to rehab back from the thoracic outlet surgery that he had. And when he's healthy, I think he easily slots in one of those three spots. You know, whoever's doing worse at the time, my guess would be Cashner or AJ Griffin. So, you know, and then you have to worry about guys, like you said, Quintana could get traded. Another pitcher could be moved over there. I'm willing to take a shot on him in super deep leagues as a reserve pick, just because he's got top 20 upside. But I wouldn't hold my breath, you know, if he's supposed to be a pivotal part of my fantasy team.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't want no part of that, Dewey.
Do you want a part of Sam Dyson this year, or is there another guy in the bullpen you're more interested in?
I don't know if there's another guy in the bullpen right now that I'm more interested in, but I think that that's another move that the Rangers could make, because Sam Dyson was great. 38 saves last year. He's just not your traditional type of closer. You know, he doesn't strike out. He doesn't strike out a million. He is 7K per nine last year, only 55 strikeouts on the year to 23 walks. I mean, he gets the job done. So if I'm drafting now and they don't have anybody, they don't trade for, you know, David Robertson isn't thrown in that Quintana deal or anything, then Sam Dyson's the guy. I'm just not super excited about him.
Yeah, I think he's the guy right now. Matt Bush would be the handcuff. And I like Matt Bush a lot in terms of holds leagues as a guy who could come up. I mean, and part of it is I'm slanted. I've been a big proponent, or not proponent, I've been a big fan of what he's done to turn his life around. I come from a similar background. I've made no bones about that and not hidden the fact that I'm a recovering alcoholic and recovering drug addict. And so to see a guy like Matt Bush turn his life around after destroying it due to alcohol, I'm rooting for the guy. And so there's part of me that really wants to buy in on Matt Bush this year, and I don't know how much of that is just looking at the numbers objectively, looking at how he pitched last year, or it is my own personal wanting to root for the guy.
Well, he's good, and we know he's got amazing stuff. He always has. So
yes.
That's a big upside for him. It's just, are they ready to thrust him in that role yet? And if they aren't, are they going to add somebody? Are they going to, you know, Jeremy Jeffress has done the job before. Mm-hmm. So there's guys on this roster that can close out games. We've seen him do it before. But it's just, I just don't know what to think of it. So, you know, Sam Dyson is the guy for now. I feel like they'll make a move for somebody. So
yeah.
Give us somebody for Fernando Rodney. You guys want Fernando Rodney Rangers? We'll do it.
No, I don't think they do.
I don't think anybody does, but...
All right. Well, that will wrap us up for this episode. Scott, thank you for joining me.
Absolutely, man. Anytime. Love it.
All right. Let people again know where you can be reached on Twitter and give yourself some plugs about In This League.
Absolutely. You can find me at Bogman Sports. You can find the Welsh at I Sit the Welsh on the Twitter machine. We got baseball coming up. We've been doing mock drafts. So we just are going to have one out on Friday the 3rd. And we're going to start looking at some of those Yahoo and ESPN rankings pretty soon here. And, you know, our shows are long. They're like 2 hours long, but you get a lot of information in them. So we'd love to have you guys come over to InThisLeague.com and check us out. Do it. Come on.
Yeah, definitely check out everything they got going over there. I mean, they have, like Scott said, a ton of podcasts. And I've been a big fan of your guys' work for a long time, so I really appreciate you coming on back on, Scott.
Anytime, man, seriously.
You can reach me on Twitter at Justin Mason, FWFB. Email me or the show, friendsfantasybenefits@gmail.com. like you heard at the top of the episode, if you give us a 5-star review and screenshot it, send it to me either at Fantasy Benefits or friendsfantasybenefits at gmail.com. I'll make sure you get into a listener league or are eligible for other prizes later on in the off season. Definitely check out all my work over at FanGraphs and on friendsfantasybenefits.com. We got ranks, got articles, got lots of great stuff going up over there. That is pretty much near the end of our team previews. So hopefully you've enjoyed that. We've enjoyed having you on, Scott. And that is going to be it for this episode. For Scott and myself, thank you for listening. Have a fantastic baseball season.